Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. And on Friday, as we always do, we look ahead to the readings for this Sunday, May 7th, which is the fourth Sunday of Easter, but it's also Good Shepherd Sunday, because the gospel is about Jesus as the Good Shepherd. His flock is pretty scattered, isn't it? We're scattered in so many ways. And many of us don't even know the voice of the shepherd, so that when the shepherd calls us, we can't distinguish his voice from all the other voices. One of the most important things to pray for today, for your loved ones, but for yourself as well, that you might be able to distinguish his voice from all the cacophony of sound and noise in the world today. That you might be able to hear that small, Scripture says, the small, still voice of God. It's quiet. It's piercing and penetrating, but it's quiet, and you have to listen in order to hear. Let's take a look at the first reading today from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 14, and then verses 36 to 41. These are the readings for this Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Easter. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and proclaimed, "Let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Where did that kind of courage come from? This is Peter now. Peter who hid, Peter who denied. He stands up and he says, he stood up with the 11, he raised his voice, "Let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. So he has an audience that's listening. And they asked Peter and the other apostles, "What are we to do? What are we to do? We didn't know, we didn't understand, we didn't whatever." And Peter said to them, "Repent. Repent of your sin and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is made to you and to your children and to all those far off, whomever the Lord our God will call." What a beautiful statement. Here's this uneducated fisherman, weak, frightened, denied Christ. And here he is, restored. Don't you think God wants to do that for each of us? When we've strayed, when we've been foolish, when we've been stupid, don't you think he wants to restore you like he did Peter? Peter says, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For that promise is made to you, to your children, to all those far off, whomever the Lord our God will call." And he testified with many other arguments and was exhorting them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." I think that needs to be said right now, brothers and sisters, to us. Save yourself from this corrupt generation. Don't take on its priorities. And don't take on a reactionary posture. Pray. 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 And when God gives you something to say, you say it. If it bears fruit, you know it's from God, not you. God gave it to you. Just like he used to here as we read all these readings, you see how God was using his disciples in many ways and was working signs and wonders. So does God want to do it today? We don't have faith to believe. So we're walking in a time of confusion. We're walking in a time of disorder. Don't you think God wants to use you? First by prayer, praying that God's truth will shine out in the midst of the darkness. that we'll come back to our senses, that we'll see things clearly. Pray for that. But then ask the Lord, as I've said to you before, Lord, what would you have me do? Is there anything you want me to do? Show me. Prayer is the key thing, but then what else might God ask of me? Be open to the Lord. I love this verse. Those who accepted his message, this is Peter's, were baptized. About 3,000 persons were added that day. Look at the change in Peter once he had the faith, once he believed, once he repented of his sin, and he did. Look how God used him. God can use Peter. He can use you and me. He needs us because he's made the world that way. He chooses to need us. He can reveal himself, but he wants to use us as his disciples to bring the truth to others. But we've got to live in the truth first in order to convey it. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. The Lord is my shepherd. Read the 23rd Psalm today. Take time with it. The first letter of Peter, chapter 2, verses 20 to 25. Beloved, if you are patient when you suffer for doing what is good, this is a grace before God. If you're patient, that's a grace. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was insulted, he returned no insult. When he suffered, he did not threaten. Instead, he handed himself over to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body upon the cross, so that free from sin, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you had gone astray like sheep, but you have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Put your own experience into that letter of Peter. Put your own experience and thank him. We have gone astray like sheep, but you have now returned. He's bringing us back. He's become our shepherd and our guardian. Is Jesus that for you? Are you willing to be shepherded? You need to be. It will lead you into truth and freedom. And the gospel is the gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate but climbs over elsewhere is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. This is shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him because they do not recognize the voice of strangers." Do you recognize the voice of God? Ask the Holy Spirit to recognize the true from the false. It's a quiet whisper, brothers and sisters. We need to learn how to hear it. Although Jesus used this figure of speech, the Pharisees did not realize what he was trying to tell them. See, the Pharisees, they're so caught up in themselves, and they're so blind and deafened by their own pride and by their own arrogance, which we can be too, that they can't hear. They did not realize what he was trying to tell them. What a sad, sad thing. Let's not be part of that group, that we don't realize what God is trying to tell us. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Brothers and sisters, draw near to Jesus. Let yourself be shepherded. It's very good. It's really very good. and it's safe, and it's life-giving. Jesus, Good Shepherd, be more the shepherd of our lives today. Pray that way. God will hear it. Pope John Paul wrote this: what does it mean to be the Good Shepherd? Jesus explains it to us with convincing clearness. The shepherd knows his sheep, and the sheep know him. How wonderful and consoling it is to know that Jesus knows us one by one, that for him we are not anonymous persons, that our name, that name which is agreed upon by loving parents and friends, is known to him. The name we were given, brothers and sisters, is known to him. For Jesus, we are not a mass, we're not a multitude, we are individual persons with an eternal value, both as creatures and as redeemed persons. He knows us. He knows me. He loves me. He gave himself for me. He's quoting Paul's letter to the Galatians. John Paul goes on to say, the shepherd feeds his sheep and leads them to fresh and abundant pastures. Jesus came to bring life to souls and to give it in superabundance. And the life of souls consists essentially in three supreme realities: truth, walk in the truth, embrace the truth; grace, God's gift to help us to live the truth; and glory. These are, according to John Paul, the three supreme realities: truth, grace, and glory. The shepherd defends his sheep. He is not like the mercenary who flees when the wolf arrives, because he does not care about the sheep at all. Unfortunately, we know very well that there are still mercenaries in the world who sow hatred, malice, doubt, confusion of ideas and of the senses. Jesus, on the contrary, with the light of his divine word and with the strength of his sacramental and ecclesial presence, forms our minds, strengthens the will, purifies our sentiments, and thus defends and saves from so many painful and dramatic experiences. The shepherd even offers his life for his sheep. Jesus realized the project of divine love by means of his death on the cross. He offered himself on the cross to redeem man, every individual man created by love, for the eternity of love. And finally, Jesus wants everyone to be a good shepherd. If we receive the care of the Good Shepherd, we learn how. We learn what helps us. Every Christian, by virtue of baptism, is called to be himself a good shepherd in the environment in which he lives. You parents must exercise the functions of the Good Shepherd with regard to your children. And you too, children, must be edifying with your love, your obedience, and above all, with your courageous and consistent faith. Also, the mutual relations between husband and wife must be marked by the example of the Good Shepherd in order that family life may always have that nobility of sentiments and ideals willed by the Creator, because of which the family has been defined as the domestic church. So also at school, at work, in playgrounds and places of leisure, in hospitals, and where people are suffering, let everyone always try to be a good shepherd like Jesus. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.